Man, this was such a great show. It was so awesome. I'm glad we did it.
Oh, the one we... Oh, that's right, because I did a show in between that.
No, I meant the one we just did. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
the time travel one.
Oh, wait a minute. It's a paradox. That's why he doesn't remember.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 124 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, hosted on the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com, a webcomic hosting site and community. I'm Fess of psiwebcomic.com, which is on hiatus, but with me, joining me, is Mark Savory of autumnlake.com.
Hello.
And Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yay.
Hello.
I am moving in a week. Actually, in less than a week. So I'm hoping that the next week's episode won't be all screwed up. I may have to just like leave my computer here on some boxes or on the kitchen floor and and record the show that way. I don't know. I don't think I'll have things fully set up because I'm moving on Thursday, and then of course I work on the weekends. So this could be potentially disastrous. But in any case, we don't need to worry about that yet.
Not yet.
Because this is episode 124, and we're going to be talking about time travel. That's right, time travel as a subject of writing. Because it can be incredibly interesting. We did talk a little bit about this subject back when we had the excuse to talk about Doctor Who episode with Rich Morris of the Ten Doctors fan comic. Yeah. And you can find that comic at comics.shipsinker.com. And
oh, sorry, what? Never mind. No.
What? And he also does a few other like crossover comics using other doctors as well, so you can check that out all there. Currently it's the Stalker of Norfolk, in case you're reading this in the archives and it's not currently there anymore. But somebody in the chat room was asking earlier, what kind of time travel comics are there? He's never heard of any, so we'll be discussing that now.
Okay.
So time
travel, there's a couple different kinds. There's certainly the Doctor Who kind of time travel, and there's a whole bunch of parameters and different types of time travel.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this isn't where I'm going with this, but you have time travel where you can't change the past. We're all familiar with that one. I think the last Time Machine that was in the theaters had that going on. He's trying to save his girl, but everything he tries always fails, and she gets killed a different way. That's not a spoiler. That's like in the first 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
literally in the first 10 minutes.
It sets the concept that no matter what you do, you can't create a paradox, that time won't allow it.
Right. And then you have the time travel where you can go back in time and change something, like in Back to the Future, that will totally mess up the present.
But that's not necessarily true in Back to the Future, though.
Well, yeah, because he got in the way of his parents' meeting, and so his photograph was fading out. He wasn't going to be in existence anymore, so he had to get them together.
We'll come back to this later after we go through the whole list, but there are two different types of ways that time travel works in Back to the Future, and I'll go into that more later. But some other kinds, which is kind of a tangent of this, is where you can change time, and time will adjust itself around you and around what happened.
Yes.
Which is kind of used in a little bit in Star Trek, at least Voyager, because I remember some of the time travel episodes in Voyager. Not all of them. But essentially, and sometimes there's like in Doctor Who, if you are a time traveler, if you're within the TARDIS, or within the Eye of the Storm, essentially, the time traveler will remember the changes. Or what used to be. And nobody else will because they were affected, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Are there any other types
of... There's also the theory of fixed points in time. So you can go and change all kinds of things in time, but not the fixed points. That's a very Doctor Who thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this new series, he always talks about there are fixed points in time. I can't change this. But I can do other stuff.
Just not this. Because for some reason, this point in time is more important than other points in time.
Somehow. Well, David Tennant tried to do that in one of his In the Waters of Mars, and it didn't turn out too good for him. He tried to change a fixed point in time, and it didn't really work out.
Didn't catch.
Kind of, yeah, kind of mostly didn't.
Yeah.
I just need to make the disclaimer now that as a physics fan and a, you know, kind of an M theory nerd,
don't ruin it for
the
us.
The whole thing gives me the huzz. But I'm going to suspend everything I know about reality for this episode.
Well, you know what it is. It's timey-wimey.
Wibbly-wobbly.
Timey-wimey will happen. And...
yeah, well, timey-wimey.
Let's see. We're going to talk about the comics that have time travel in them a little bit later. We can talk about more about the types so far that we've discussed. I do want to... what was the first one you mentioned was that you can't change anything. It's like... Because if you went back and changed something, well, then that wouldn't happen.
You could destroy the future. And that's what Captain Kirk was always talking about on the Star Trek TV show. You remember that episode where they went back and they captured the jet pilot?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was an episode where the Enterprise got thrown back in time.
Yeah.
And they were getting attacked by U.S. Air Force jets, so they used the tractor beam to crush one of them, which was a very dumb thing for Kirk to do.
Yeah.
And he beams the pilot aboard, and it turns out, oh, we have to send him back, although he knows all about the future because we stupidly told him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't send him back, then he won't have these kids who will go on and do these really important missions in space.
Which is interesting to me. This is one of the things about all the time travel things that always gets to me. It's never, well, we have to send him back because he's going to have kids who work at a deli. No, it's if they're somehow directly responsible for some important thing. And I think it misses out on the fact that really, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there are inconsequential moments that actually have a great deal. You know, when you kind of think about the butterfly effect sort of thing. Think about people that maybe you've met in your life that set your life on an entirely different direction without ever knowing it. No one ever knew that. But, you know, the Baker's kids didn't get born because Kirk took this pilot board, and so now you're screwed. But as long as they've done something important, it's okay. The time travels will put them back. It's all right.
True.
If they're just going to run a deli, screw them.
Also, in the City on the Edge of Forever, they go back in time and change. This is a totally different flavor of time travel in Star Trek. They go back in time and actually change stuff.
Mm-hmm.
McCoy makes changes in time, which wipes out the entire Federation, at least as they know it. So they have to go back and stop McCoy.
Yeah.
So that's totally contravenes the first sort of thing, because...
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not
actually,
the doctor.
Actually, no, it doesn't. They're the same thing. I'm sorry. They're the same thing. You make a change, it jacks stuff up down the line.
And then you have to go back and stop yourself from doing the thing, and it's... I liked Calvin and Hobbes' version of time travel, where there ended up being like 87 of them, and none of them were going to do his homework.
That wasn't time travel.
Yeah, it was. Oh, no, wait. That was cloning. That was the cloning one.
Yeah.
The time travel one, oh, he did make a time machine box. What happened with that one?
He went back to the dinosaurs, didn't he?
No. Okay. On our first topic of... You can't change the past or change time, sort of thing. That's where Calvin and Hobbes story comes in. Basically, I think he was gonna go back in time to make his old self do homework or something like that.
Right, or go it back was later.
And, yeah, and eventually, it basically he just nothing happened because he didn't. He chose not to do anything. He was using not reverse logic, circular logic. Or something like that, and
Well, but, and he ended up just messing around with his Friday self or whatever. Instead of convincing him to do the homework so that they would have their Sunday afternoon free or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They both ended up screwing around because that's his nature.
I had to look it up again, but
that's one of those nature comments.
I wanted to go back with the idea that you can't change anything, so basically you're like a passive observer if you're going to kill your grandpa sort of thing. If you go back in time and here's the logic. Because you're already here, you exist. Obviously,
it's a paradox.
Obviously, you failed to do that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
It could be a paradox because being a time traveler, you're outside of time.
Now,
like when you're in the TARDIS. So maybe you could go back and kill your grandpa, but it's a huge paradox in time that doesn't make any sense.
more and more is like being discussed as far as M theory and quantum theory and all of these different things, and people are kind of trying to wrap their brains around an 11 dimension universe. You're seeing more and more time travel stories. What happens is you do go back in time, you do kill your grandfather, but what it does is it splits time into two divergent realities that run side by side, and that either at some point those realities come crashing back into each other with disastrous consequences, or the person is trapped in an alternate reality. Yeah. And then you end up with the time traveler stuck in the divergent reality trying to get back to his own,
it's the theory of the two Martys in Back to the Future. There's a theory of two Martys. So we have our Marty in 1985, let's say. He goes back in time and comes back in a different world. But the Marty in 1985B has also gone back in time, and now he's stuck in 1985A.
Yeah.
And you can, if you watch the movie, you'll see at the end, and this everybody's seen this, so it's not a spoiler. At the end, Marty A comes back to the Lone Pine Mall and sees Doc get shot. At the beginning of the movie, if you look over by the Twin Pine sign, you see a figure over there.
Yeah, you see
off in the shadows. So who is that? It can't be Marty A, because he's at the Twin Pines Mall and not the Lone Pines Mall.
Yeah, but they just screwed that up. I mean,
that was somebody that wasn't
probably
supposed
having
to be
somebody
in the
stand
shot.
Over there was, oh, that would be cool, and then they.
And then they changed some things and forgot that they'd added that in, or, you know, consistency is difficult when you're slapping a movie together. And
see,
you know.
The Back to the Future presents the idea where you can go and you can change, I supposedly, little things.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that at one point, like in the second movie, there's the alternate future. Where the timeline actually skewed off and there's a new time. So because he went and changed something, because he's there after he changed something, he is now in that new timeline. So when he goes to the future, he goes to the future in that timeline.
Yes.
Right. So he screws things up. The thing with, like, say, little changes, the little changes are still in place because it doesn't affect him. As in the time traveling thing where it doesn't affect that, okay, he may have changed, he ran over that tree. Okay, so instead of Twin Pines Mall, it became the Lone Pine Mall. Well, that didn't affect anything to the point where he was still going to go back in time and do all that other sort of stuff, so there's not a double Marty in the future because it kind of like still adjusted to itself. Now, whether or not he actually did make a small skew in time again and made another alternate universe, it's at a point where it didn't affect it enough to totally mess things up, and then you like double Marty or something like that.
It's kind of a twined realities idea that while you have divergent realities that have split off and two separate events actually occur on a timeline, those timelines twist and intersect in such a way that as long as it isn't anything that, again, changes anything important, however subjective.
I didn't say important, I said drastically.
No, I did.
No, I'm changing so, your words.
Drastically, if it's a subjective, inconsequential change, then that inconsequential change will occur in both realities, because even though they're divergent, they're twisted. This is my problem with all time story travel, or all time travel stories. You eventually get to a point where you're so convoluted, you end up with a meatball of logic. There is no way to separate the individual ingredients anymore. They're just all mashed together in some sort of form that you can kind of understand enough to move on. And that's it.
Well, I disagree a little bit, because it does make sense enough to me. Because if you start really analyzing it, you're not going to have any more fun. But
that's true.
But this sort of same time thing happened in Dragon Ball Z when this is only for people that will know what I'm talking about, of course. But Trunks comes back from the future, and if you haven't seen Dragon Ball Z by now, I don't care. But Trunks is basically Vegeta's son. He comes back in time to try to change the world, to kill these androids that basically obliterate humanity. However, before he goes back in time, his mom his uncle or his grandpa or something like that, one of the people that are responsible for making the time travel thing, be it Bulma or Bulma's dad, basically says you can go back in time, you can change this, but you won't be able to come back to our time. You'll be, you can at least make a better world. So the DBZ knew that you make a change in time, you'll skew the timeline, make a new universe, essentially, and if you try to go back to the future, you only go back to the future in that timeline, which does make sense. Unless he goes back to the past and doesn't change anything or prevents him from changing anything, then he could go into the same future, but then he'll probably end up making another skewed timeline and da 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 da.
What happens? Let's say there is a Marty from 1985B who also went back in time. He's now crossed over to Marty 1985A's timeline. So he's there, the car doesn't work, Doc is dead, he's got the crappy parents and all the rest of it. Right?
Okay. So,
yeah, it sucks to be him.
If he's smart enough, because he did have a better life, so hopefully he's a little smarter than the original Marty. Maybe he's had better education. Maybe he's applied himself more. Who knows?
True.
He's had a better life in one way or another. So maybe he says, hey, wait a minute. There's Doc Brown. Okay, he's dead. But you know what? He's got that whole suitcase full of plutonium. I'll grab a couple canisters and chuck it in the car, and that should make the car work again. And then I can go back in time and try to fix it.
Wait a minute.
You've got another Marty. You've got another.
Now you've got four.
You're assuming the Libyans died crashing into that photo thing. I'd say they're going to get up again and go after them. But who knows?
I don't know. They didn't have time to do that because they're off chasing the original DeLorean and they crash into the photo mart. Or the photo
hunt. Yeah. Okay, what are they going to do when they get out of the...
Hey, I'm going to grab this and run. He could.
He could. And yet. And that's where you see... I love when you see writers starting to play with kind of what they understand of actual theory. And that's sort of what you saw in, like, Back to the Future and what we're seeing now in a lot of little subtle ways, even with Doctor Who and you hear terms like divergent realities and things that come directly from multiverse theory. Mm-hmm. And I love when they take, okay, I can almost understand this concept. We'll throw it in there. Nobody will notice. It'll be totally logical. Let's go. And you almost have a multiverse theory, like what you just described is almost a multiverse. Every time you go back or forward or whatever in time, you end up with a brand spanking new universe. Welcome to your new place. And now you're just as hosed, but in a different way. Yay!
Or like the Simpsons Halloween episode where Homer makes a time machine out of his toaster.
I love that.
He goes back and he accidentally steps on a mosquito or an amoeba or something like that, and things are screwed up. Or the one where it's totally awesome, they're rich, everyone's well mannered, but there's no such thing as donuts. And then he leaves, and then it turns out oh, well, the rain is not rain anymore. It rains donuts. So he's like, oh, well. But he didn't get to see that, so.
Yeah.
But then eventually he got close enough by the end. So it was like basically all the same except for everyone had like lizard tongues.
Lizard tongues.
But anyway.
We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I'm certain we're going to be talking about Doctor Who again.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
We have just a couple of milestones this week. One called Fulf has hit over 100 strips recently, and that's at wolfeclipse.com/comics/Fulf. And there's also I Dream of a Genie Bottle, which has hit 1 year old this month at geniebottle.com. Congratulations on your milestones.
Okay, so...
Are we done with break? So, well, do we take breaks now?
No, we don't take breaks.
Okay, so here's something I saw on an In Search Of the other night, on a rerun of In Search Of, about time travel. So if you go back in time, Doctor Who says he can't cross his own timeline.
Or
so it's
he
like
shouldn't.
He can't meet himself, at least in his present incarnation.
Right.
So you go back in time, there are two of you in a given moment. And then eventually, if you keep doing that, let's say you go back in time to stop yourself from doing something dumb. Well, there's two of you right there. And then it turns out it didn't work. So you go back in time and stop yourself from trying to stop yourself from doing something dumb. And it doesn't turn out the way you thought it would. So you go back in time again and you try to stop yourself from stopping yourself from stopping yourself from doing something dumb. So eventually, there are multiple copies of you existing all at the same moment. How
and,
weird is that?
And space-time doesn't like that.
It doesn't like that, I'm sure.
At least in Doctor Who, it wrecks time, and it can create... essentially, which is like a time loop, or it is a paradox, but
yeah.
It's something that time has to figure out how to fix in order to go forward, or you can... It wasn't a part of the series. It was just like the little Doctor Who Confidential kind of fun thing. Basically, David Tennant and whoever plays the fifth Doctor, I think. The one that wore the celery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Peter Davison.
Yeah. So they were together doing the little fun thing, essentially.
He can meet other incarnations of himself. They've done that several times.
True, but the thing was, the TARDIS basically occupied the same... The TARDIS doubled over itself, so essentially a giant supernova was going to happen, or a black hole was going to happen, and then by the end, they countered it with a supernova or a black hole, essentially canceling out the energy that was going to happen, so nothing would happen. But that was a sense, you know, it's still the TARDIS itself is a character, essentially. But... To step back from more complex things, you know, we have Father's Day, which is a series which was with the Ninth Doctor, episode 4 of the new series, and that is where basically Rose. I can say this because people should have seen this by now. Besides, if you haven't seen Father's Day, it is a fucking excellent episode, and I fucking cry every time. But in any case, Rose goes. Asked to go back in time to see her father because he had died when she was young, and essentially she didn't get a chance to say goodbye to him. She wanted somebody there to be with her. Well, she didn't do that. She runs away because she can't do it, and then she asks if she can try again. So they go there again. So Doctor and Rose number two are waiting until the first group leaves, but she gets too emotional. She screws it up. She runs right in front of Doctor Who and Rose number one. And pulls her dad out of the way. effectively making a paradox, changing time. Normally, I don't believe it was a fixed point. I don't believe that it was her saving her dad was a paradox in and of itself, but the fact that number ones saw something that they didn't before, that was the paradox. That shouldn't have happened. It didn't happen. First group disappeared. Paradox created, and then all this crazy bad stuff was happening because time was wounded, and then these creatures showing up trying to take advantage of it. Da 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 da. And so that's an example of, okay, you just created a paradox, and in the Doctor Who universe, that's not what you do. Maybe in other time travel scenarios, cartoons or movies like that, you can meet, but you shouldn't touch each other, which is also kind of like in Doctor Who as well. But I have seen other cartoons where they meet, and then like maybe they shake hands, and then kaboom or something like that. You know, it's been a joke. Yeah. I'm not sure where that originated, but like
I've seen things. Movies and stuff like that, like if you occupy the same space or something.
Yeah. In Back to the Future, I forget the girlfriend, Lorraine, she met herself. They both fainted.
And passed out.
Yeah.
And passed out.
They both, one said, I'm old, and the other said, I'm young, and they said it at the same time, and then they fainted. And so.
Which seems more like an emotional fallibility than one caused by time travel, but.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what about things like just talking about some stories. What about something like Millennium, which is not a very good movie, but it's an interesting idea. In order to repopulate people in the future, they go back in the past and they they replace air crash victims with organic material, but they take the people to the future. Which is kind of weird. And then they have time shocks that happen. Like ripples in time sweep forward like a wave.
Yeah.
And stronger and stronger and stronger. And, you know, that's kind of interesting. That's an interesting concept. The ripples in time that you know, like a wave coming ashore, they get bigger and bigger and bigger and then crash on you.
Kind of like Star Trek Generations. While a bad movie, the idea was that using way too much, you know, basically warping the universe with warp drives, the universe reacted and produced this wave, essentially. That's at least how I understood it. So it was kind of like that same, I'm trying to make just an analogy, not going into it.
Yeah.
On another topic I wanted to bring up, who's seen 1201? It might have been a made-for-TV movie, but basically, I mean, there's this guy that works in an office. Yeah, you know, just your regular old guy, but unrelated to him particularly, there's like this group that's trying to do stuff with time travel or whatever. They're not supposed to be, essentially. I'm abridging the movie here.
Yeah.
But they fire this beam or whatever, and this beam ends up, I don't know, somehow hitting him. And he relives the day over. This goes back to, we can start talking about living the day over sort of thing, and he keeps reliving the day of, like, Groundhog's Day, and eventually starts, wait a minute, what's going on? And eventually, he's able to, like, adjust things, move things around a little bit, but really the same thing happens. Joe still gets hit with a hot cup of coffee, but he's still eventually slowly finding his way towards getting the answer. So he's still unaffected, and he tries to convince so-and-so people of this and that. And
it's like that great episode of Next Gen where the ship keeps getting blown up over and over again.
Yeah. And they keep trying to move tiny things and whatever they can to change it.
The only thing to do is basically go as early as possible to stop the initial something or other. I don't know. It's...
Well, but since that initial something or other is what caused the issue in the first place, you can't go back directly before that. So the only things you end up changing are the things that occur directly after whatever started the time paradox to begin with. You're hosed. I mean, sit down and enjoy the day because...
Well, that's the thing. No, that's the thing. Say, like, there's 10 minutes of time.
Okay.
And during this 10 minutes, whatever caused the time reversal happened within that 10 minutes. Typically, it's at the end of that 10 minutes. And then it's basically, it's something that's it's a loop.
Okay, it's, so it's not necessarily... It's not, actually took him back to the beginning of the day. Right?
Well, it took him, I think, 24 hours into the past.
Okay, that's different then. Yeah, then he has 24 hours to fix it. Yeah, okay, I understand. I gotcha.
Just call in sick to work so you're not there when you get hit by the beam. I mean,
and that was way too easy.
Anyway, so we've probably...
Now, if we go back to the whole Doctor Who thing where you can't change certain fixed points in time...
Oh, wait, wait. I got one more thing, though.
...wind up in the office and hosed again.
There's one more thing before we can talk about the Doctor Who stuff, and that is... there's the sci-fi original series, at least used to be, and there used to be like this... It had like this time capsule thing. It could go up to seven days back in time. And utilizing something, I don't know, but there's this ship. So it can go 7 days back in time, so it kind of helps that there's this institution exists, so they know of it. So he can go back in time and contact them and say, hey, this shit's about to happen, you know, here's my authorization codes or whatever, so try to prevent that. So it's a, right. It's a cool way to try to prevent, like, major disasters, but they only have a week. And there's been times where, you know, he might have trouble trying to contact them, having trouble convincing people of this, trouble trying to figure out, because they may not know exactly where to be and who to get a hold of. So that's where the drama is of the story. But essentially, he can create... I forget now. I don't know.
Paradox.
Okay, so moving on from that, so that's just another 7 days, somebody says it's called. So with Doctor Who, you got the wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey, time is like a big ball type of thing.
Yes, which actually was the way it was originally explained before we went into multiverse theory. The idea was that time wasn't a line, it was a big ball, as soon as we realized that there were particles that could travel through time the way that we travel through space. We thought, oh, okay, well, it's all like a big ball of yarn, and as long as the strings are touching, you can go from one piece of string to the, you know, one bit of the string to another bit of the string as long as the strings are touching.
That's what they did with Quantum Leap.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they did with Quantum Leap, and that was actually, you know, put together partly with Einstein, who unfortunately didn't understand quantum theory at all. So that would be why it kind of came out that way. And a lot of the most consistent science fiction came from that, because that sort of makes sense. And you get rid of a lot of those divergent realities and time paradox issues, because you have to have bits that are touching.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can obviously see, there's a lot of different ways you can do time travel. If you're going to write time travel, there's a lot of different ways you can choose from.
But
if you're going to go into the distant past, can you eat the food? Will you have the right kind of money?
Uh-huh.
Will you have the right kind of documentation? I mean, you know, these are things time travelers have to consider.
I wouldn't recommend eating the food if you go back.
And language and everything. I mean, I was reading a good Cracked article about this, actually.
You know, I think I read that too.
If you go like a few hundred years in either direction, then you probably won't recognize the written word or even the spoken word after several hundred years in one way or the other. You can't, you couldn't probably eat the food. You might bring a disease back in time or pick one up that's died out now.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of crazy things, but mostly with time travel, we don't worry about that.
Genetically, we've looked at it, and apparently we used to have a gene. It's broken in us now, but it's active in other creatures that makes us immune to HIV. So we've been broken now, and that's why you know that virus affects us. When you consider, you know, mutations like that, that it requires happenstance in order for that mutation to continue, because you have to have this continual disease going. You could be really hosed from some things that people would consider very common. You know, even the rhinovirus, even the common cold has changed drastically over the years. It would suck to go back in time and die of the sniffles. Like,
or come back, go back in time and take the more mutated cold to another time, like back in
and
time.
Kill everyone with the sniffles. Yeah. That's even worse.
Talk
way
about
to go,
paradox.
Jackass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the.
Yeah.
Another thing, there's a Robot Chicken skit, which is called. What is it? Dicks with Time Machines or something like that? They just go back and they change things just because.
Yeah.
Just because.
And it's just stupid shit.
Yeah.
Wipe out the Mayans just because.
It's disastrous consequences.
I never liked those guys.
Sometimes it was even more puerile. Like, it was just to go back and, like, throw a pie in Hitler's face. Like, it wasn't really changing anything major, you know? It was just a prank, basically. Yeah, I thought that was very funny.
time travel episode from South Park, where he tries to freeze himself so he doesn't have to wait as long for the Wii to come out, and he ends up getting lost for like thousands of years, and then they have like this prank phone call device in the future, which will dial numbers back in time, but you can only use it for pranks. You know, that's it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to give any actual information. And yeah, he ends up with his little robot dog. And
it was a cat. A bird. Well, it was a bird later. Because he changed some things.
So all things that need to be considered with time travel. If you're going to write time travel. Proper time travel.
Pick
like
one,
actually traveling
stick
in
to
time.
It. Pick one, stick to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Please stick one and pick to it. Stick one and pick to it. Do that.
Pick one and stick to it. However you
Let's
decide
go back time, in time and fix that.
However you decide time travel is going to work. Lay out the rules so you know how it's going to work. And this seems more like a long form thing than a gag a day thing. Although, you know, I could do a time travel story too.
Yeah.
If you do gag a day, I don't think it's as important.
Probably
sticking.
Not as important. Yeah. In fact, half the fun would be from contravening your own rules and somebody pointing it out.
That would actually be really funny.
But then you'd have to have a good paradox joke, too, I'm sure.
I actually think this is something that Doctor Who's writers must be suffering from. Like, there's such a better theory. There's so many better theories out there now that would be so... They would fix so many problems. It would make the writing so much easier, but they have to stick with like the rules that came out of the 60s, and so they're sort
no,
of well.
There's been some.
I know that. Well, I mean,
there's been some retcon.
Doctor Who is time kind of has an agency. You know, it has a will sort of its own, and that helps them, I think, a great deal in the story. But beyond giving time some sort of agency, you're hosed. If you don't stick to the rules.
Well, I mean, it's I don't think of it as like I don't think time is a conscious thing. It's just like think of time, space time in Doctor Who, kind of like this ever changing equation, but the results are still the same.
Like guardians,
like,
and that's the agency.
No. Well, I didn't. Okay, I thought you meant like time itself had a consciousness, and it doesn't really have a consciousness, but it does have an essence.
It is a force.
It has an essence.
It has laws.
Yeah, it's like anything in science. It has laws. I mean, like you can change. You can make a one side of the equation look complicated as hell, and put an equal sign, and then have another simpler equation on the other side. Like the equations themselves may change, but everything still has to come out and to be equal in the end. That's why time behaves as it does. It makes a paradox until it finds a way to essentially adjust itself, rewrite itself, so that you can make it work. If it doesn't, kaboom. But also in Doctor Who, there are alternative universes, except they're supposed to be closed. This is dealt with more back in the...
And that's kind of what I mean by when Doctor Who gave it an agency. You have, and I don't mean that time itself is conscious. You are correct in correcting me there. The sort of, you know, the rule keepers of time. There have been plenty of times in the Doctor Who universe where supposed rules were either broken... And the consequences were somehow negated, or where the rules were stretched, or inexplicably the rule didn't count in a certain situation. So there have been a lot of there's weenie room in Doctor Who, and you get that from this agency. Because I can't remember the specific storyline, and it was in old Doctor Who, where it came down to the fact that they told him it was a rule, but it wasn't really a rule. And that's what I meant by giving time this agency, that they were able to say, well, you can't do that. And then when he did it, they said, well, we just told you you couldn't do that because it's a bad idea.
That's probably where he can't meet himself. That's probably something like the three doctors or something.
Yeah.
And to meet himself, but they could arrange it.
Right. And so you get a lot of wiggle room there when you give time and agency. And there have been other stories, universes created where time itself was conscious and had an agency and could decide which events were important and which weren't. And it typically, that has something to do with, you know, an overall goal of mankind and those type of things. Even in Douglas Adams, you see something to that effect, where funny things would happen in certain odd ways because, well, in reality, we're all just part of this big computer. So there's wiggle room,
Sometimes, like I was trying to say, sometimes the rules might just be rules because in theory, this could happen, so nobody should try it.
Right.
It's not a theory we'd like to test.
Right.
Of course.
Okay, so here's a question.
Okay.
Would you consider, now we're talking about writing,
mm-hmm.
now, would you consider the use of the flashback a form of time travel in writing?
I think people have used it as such.
I guess I don't understand what you mean.
Using a flashback to go back and basically
talk about something or to tell a story out of sequence.
Right. Or explain explain a part of reality now rather than doing it, you know, in your present storyline, because you end up with an info dump.
I wouldn't consider that a time travel.
I think it depends on whether or not it changes something.
Well, if you're talking about retconning, then you're not changing anything.
I'm talking about lazy writing.
I don't consider that time travel because you're not actually time traveling. I don't time travel every time I stare out the window.
But you are in a literary sense.
Mm-hmm.
Characters aren't
actually literary time. Yeah, it's literary time travel. Oh. You're going back in time to fix something you screwed up in your own plot line.
That's retcon.
I mean, it's actually a valid storytelling method to tell the story out of sequence or whatever you want to do.
But it's not time travel. But Tanya, you were talking about retconning.
Was I?
Yeah, you used to go back and fix something. Like, okay, if anyone's who watched the CGI, I think it was like the first CGI series, it was a reboot. And it's about these, you know, basically little bits and whatevers that live inside your computer, da da da. It's a really cool series, and I really like it a lot. And one of them was like, I think it was at the end of season 3, and then they came back. Or is at the end of season 2? There was a big, you know, hiatus because they didn't have the funds, and they came back. They retconned something where the main bad guy, Megabyte, crushed this tool that the Guardian Bob was using. And it didn't happen in the original sequence, but when they showed quote unquote video of it happening, there was an extra flash when he crushed it, and that was supposed to be code transfers. That was an example of a retcon, something that didn't happen, but they went back and said, yeah, it happened. And you'll probably find a lot of it in Doctor Who as well, like the whole drumming in the Master's brain. That was a retcon, because that wasn't a part of the original.
Right.
Several 40, 50 years.
Okay. Yeah, then I was incorrect. Yeah, I'm talking about retconning. I didn't understand the definition, apparently.
I'm talking about writing. I'm talking about a literary device.
For the reader, maybe, yes,
for the
time
reader,
travel.
Not the character.
But it's not real time travel.
Yeah. Your audience is traveling through time.
If sure.
You as the author are guiding your reader through out of sequence time jumping.
All right, and I'm going to guide our listeners to a break, and when we come back, we're going to start this show.
Hey,
That was Time Travel from the Ampersands, found on musicalley.com by Mebio. We wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't bring this back to webcomics.
Oh, that's
and,
right. Quick, go back in time. We'll start it over. Because this is certainly not important enough for the time gods to to stop this. We can...
There's a couple other webcomics that that talk about time travel. We mentioned earlier the Ten Doctors by Rich Morris and other sorts of stuff. And in fact, we have them calling in right now, despite it being Father's Day, which happy Father's Day to everybody that has a father, hey. I guess. Father's. Hi, Rich. How's it going?
Hey, good, you?
Awesome.
Can you hear me?
Do you want
to? Am I coming in clear?
You're coming in all right. A little bit of a buzz, but it'll work. We're talking about webcomics that use time travel. And, of course, we've had you on the show before, and talking about your Doctor Who stuff, of course.
Well, time travel, I'm really glad I got a chance to talk to you guys, because time travel has always been one of my favorite subjects in storytelling. And I use Doctor Who only because, well, it's partly because I love the show, but also because it's convenient. I don't have to set it up. Everyone knows it's about time travel, so I can just go ahead with the fun stuff.
Right.
But what's the
Well, basically, like we said, we talked about the Ten Doctors in length before, and but you also have a couple of other comics that feature a particular Doctor, or I think you had maybe two at once. So, could you tell us a little bit about your other whether they fan fiction crossover things or what were they?
Yeah. Well, they're all Doctor Who fan stuff. Some of them are crossover. But what I've been doing as far as the time travel is concerned, when I'm using that as a tool, I like to use it, like experiment with the strangeness and the uniqueness of time travel storylines. So in one of my stories, I have two related story arcs happening at the same time, but they never interact. So you're learning at the same time as you're learning the result, you're also learning the setup at the same time. So you can have the actual setup being a surprise. You know what I mean? Like in this case, no one knows who the villain actually is, but there are suspicions that it might be, like, say, this innocent dumb guy who's taken the place of the Baron, or it could be the Master who's setting him up. And right. It turns out to actually be the weaker guy who's been, at the end, we find out he's been given this ability to last forever, and he seems a bit like the Master when we meet him in the future version.
Which one was that?
That was Forever Jeannette, which was a cross between Doctor Who and the Canadian vampire series Forever Night.
Oh.
One of my favorite uses of time travel in a story, and I used to do a lot of role-playing games, and so I used to be able to set up the stories and have people interact, you know, sort of interactive storytelling. And one of the things I did was I had a guy show up at the beginning, stagger out of his time machine and collapse dead and disintegrate. And they only discovered maybe halfway through the evening that it was actually this guy who'd been sent to help them, got in his time machine and disappeared. And because his time machine sort of broke down, he showed up at the beginning, and then they could go back to the scene of the original incident and find all the answers they've been looking for. So there's lots of fun. Not so much for him, no. But that's the fun thing with time travel, is you can destroy the concept of linear storytelling.
Yeah.
Destroy,
seek, rule, get,
and destroy. Well, and there is a lot of creativity there for writers. And I like it when it's well done. I like it when people manage to avoid kicking themselves in the bum.
Time comes.
But do you find that you know, especially since, you know, you're writing time travel, that having a long-term plan is maybe more important than in a story that doesn't involve things that might contain, you know, paradoxes and alternate realities and things like that?
Yeah, it all depends on how you want to use your time travel. Like, if you're just using it as an excuse to go back and interact with a famous historic character, then it's not so important. You know, you show up, you do your thing, you leave. But if you want to go the way of, say, something like Back to the Future, which, in my opinion, is one of the all-time best uses of time travel in a story, you've got to really be careful how you plan it. Now, what I do is I create an alpha timeline and it's sort of like a flowchart. Uh-huh. Create an alpha timeline, which is a list of all the important characters and events and how they would take place before the intervention. And then you can draw lines and maneuver, like say your character from the future goes back to a point in the past. You draw a line in, intersect, and then see how that intervention and decide how that would change everything from that point up, including the point at which the character leaves and comes back in time in the first place. You know?
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah. So you've got to figure out how that, because, you know, it would be, you do set yourself up a paradox and write yourself into a corner if suddenly your guy was never born, or if he suddenly has no reason to go back there and doesn't intervene. And it gets really quite confusing, especially in a story like The Ten Doctors, where I had all these characters going back and forth all over the place, and I had one guy who deliberately went to the end and worked his way backwards through the story. So as the story progresses, you actually see him later, and he's experiencing it all backwards. So it can be quite confusing, but at the same time, when you do see it all, like mosaiced out at the end, you can say, wow, it worked and it was really cool.
In incarnations of immortality, the same thing. Father Time went backwards, everyone else went forward. So when he had the love affair with one of the Fates, there came a moment where, you know, he was in love with her and she was just meeting him.
And that's been done a few different times before,
yeah.
And they're doing it right now with Doctor Who, basically. River Song and the Doctor are meeting, I believe it's entirely in reverse order, as though we have yet to see the entire story. And don't say anything about the most recent one that came up, because I'm pretty sure she shows up in that one.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to work, how long it's going to play out, and all that sort of thing. Of course, if you do it wrong, it could be promising, and they're like, oh no, they dropped the ball. But you know,
yeah,
it's
like when Star Trek does time travel, you can pretty much guarantee that the ball will not just be dropped, but dropped down a sewer.
Get lost, float up later. Yeah,
it's so sloppy, you know, and then they'll do something and say, well, that doesn't work. And the next minute, you know, this big thing that was a big deal, you know, about how they accidentally travel through time and will never be able to replicate it, get home. And then, like, the next time they do it, they do it on a regular basis for experimental purposes. Like, oh, come on.
I mean, yeah, let's start with time travel and go save the whales or...
Yeah.
That's fucking
we're going to attempt time travel 5 minutes later.
A weird old series one with Gary Seven, where they make it sound like they do it every week. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, we traveled back in time to observe what was going on in the late 60s. Yeah, sure you did, pal. What happened was you accidentally got too close to the sun and spun around in a circle.
Slingshot.
In any case... So, all right. Well, Rich, thank you very much for coming on the show and talking with us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on.
No problem.
It's great to tie it with you guys. I listen to your pod all the time, so...
Excellent.
You're the one. Oh, great.
Yay!
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, once again, you can go see Rich's comics at comics.shipsinker.com. And he also does yet another fantasy gamer comic, which is yafgc.net.
That's right. And quick plug, at the end of the month, hopefully we will have our first book available.
Ooh.
Yafgeek, Volume 1. So, yeah, check it out on the website and on the forum.
Awesome. Excellent. All right, Rich, well, have a good one, and thanks once again for coming on the show.
Thanks very much. Actually, I was here before, and I traveled back in time so I could see you again for the first time.
Excellent.
All right. See ya. So,
see you before.
Bye.
Paradox! Ah!
And to go back to my odd theory that some comics are sex and some are masturbation, time travel comics are absolutely sex. You should own them, because then you can go back more easily than you can on the web. You know, you can flip back a few pages and see, okay, did I imagine that paradox? Is that real? You can really go back and get into it by flipping back and forth. So I prefer to own time travel stories than I do see them on the web.
Well, already.
It's a
I do want to mention a couple of other web comics that do use time travel, particularly the one that most people that listen to the show may know about is Times Like This. Tanya, do you read this comic?
I used to. I don't read any comics really anymore because my eyeballs suck.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's at timeslikethis.com, and it essentially it stars a woman that works in, I think, in a physics lab, and she finds this element which can generate these portholes, which she can go through time with, and essentially she uses it to go back in time and bang different historic figures, I guess, for the most part. At least that's all. It's kind of like a cross between Gagaday as well as Story, though it does have more story into it. But there's lots of gags into like entire strips used as gags and such, and it has its own devices as far as how time works. Essentially, there's a particular recently there's been an example where she tells this guy that she's been seeing about her time travel thing, and then things start to change around her. So she realizes that he's not going to keep his mouth shut. So then, eventually it turns out that, she has to wipe his memory or something like that. And to prevent the paradox and screwing with time, essentially. But there's another agency that's popped up in the comic too since she's been doing it, which is kind of watchdogging her at the same time as well as doing their own thing. And I'm not sure if there's going to be something more deeper there yet in the future or not. But obviously it's primarily revolving around that. Another comic is Dawn of Time, which is at dawnoftimecomics.com. It doesn't use time travel, but it has time travel in it, basically for the placement of certain characters. And I'm not sure how more complex or involved time travel itself is going to be into it now. But in the beginning, it was basically this guy gets left back in time. His partner leaves him there, essentially, to take the credit for himself. And the comic itself has evolved a lot since the beginning. It started more so as a pantomime comic featuring Dawn herself, and then this other guy came in, and etc. So that's an example of a comic that utilizes time travel as a mere element versus not an element, but like, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Kind of.
Not as a basis. Not as a basis for the comic.
But it's an element, but it's not the core.
Yeah. And I think there's some you can go on. If you Google like time travel webcomics, you might be able to find some. But there hasn't been any that have particularly jumped out at us. And I did plan to spend most of this episode talking about the different ways to write and talk of how to utilize the time travel in your own ways as well. So I didn't look up at a whole lot of time traveling webcomics because I didn't know of so many.
Yeah.
But let's see. And then, of course, every once in a while, you might have a webcomic that might have like a time travel story in it, and maybe not necessarily be the basis or a big part of the comic throughout. But, just sometimes, even just for fun, they have a time travel sequence, which I am planning on writing one soon. Hopefully it's only 8 to 10 pages, but I don't want to make more work for myself. But in any case, we're going to look at webcomicbeacon.com and see who's advertising on this show, because we do that every time we broadcast, and that's how you can get a plug on the air.
Oh man. Let's check it out. Oh boy. Who is it?
So
it's like those little advent calendars, and you can't wait to open Christmas even though you know what's going to be there.
Yeah.
Not Santa. You know it's going to be like Jesus in the manger or something.
That little plastic baby Jesus.
You always want to open the little door and see.
By the way, everybody, bake Jesus. Everybody bake Jesus Day.
What are you talking about?
July 3rd.
What?
You know how there was Everybody Draw Muhammad Day?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a Spanish artist who, in like 1975 or something, ages ago, did a funny little video where they baked, they took a little Jesus off the crucifix and baked it. And it's all in Spanish, so I don't know, but it's supposed to be funny. And apparently recently on Spanish television, when they were interviewing this artist, they played a clip of this. And now under Spain's blasphemy laws, this artist is could possibly be fined €192,000 for blaspheming 30 years ago. So just like we did the little protest for free speech where everybody drew Muhammad, now it's Everybody Bake Jesus Day, and that's July 3rd And so you bake a Jesus in one way or another. If you're a vegetarian, you can bake a tofu Jesus. And
what about cookies? Like, make little Jesus cutouts and you're still...
Totally make Jesus cookies. I bet they'd be tasty. Tastier than the Catholic Jesus cookies.
Oh, I want to try to make a 3D one. Like cut out the cross first and then like make like a dough Jesus. Put it on top.
I was
going
to see if I could get it to rise and by using... By using cellophane to hold certain parts of the dough down, like make the abs and all the little forms, I think it would be really cool. So Jesus will rise and then be baked.
There was something.
wait.
Something I saw on the internet was a meatloaf Jesus. It was like a baby Jesus meatloaf or something.
We'll see.
Okay, anyway.
Make one.
Advertising. Quick, we need to stop with the blast.
Advertising. Yes.
Yay, aren't you glad you advertised with us?
Aren't you glad you advertised websites like Blogged Drainpipe at bloggeddrainpipe.blogspot.com? We also have I Dream of a Genie Bottle at geniebottle.com. And also we have, once again, Beware the Slumpy at bewarethislumpy.com. If you'd like to advertise on our show, either by buying a sponsorship during the podcast complete with an ad for the post, or just right on to our Project Wonderful ads, check out webcomicbeacon.com/advertise for more information. Let's see here. Coming up next week, we're going to have Erica Moen of the webcomic Dar, which I think is at darcomic.com. And she's going to be on the show, and so that's going to be really awesome. And if anybody has seen her comic and knows her, you know this is going to be an awesome show. So stick around for that next week. And I will say that July 4th, there will be no show. I'm going to a convention of which I screwed up my time at work, so I'm going to miss most of it, but it's Convergence, which is like a 4-day Uber geekathon. It is the 800-pound gorilla in Minnesota, essentially, during the time. But we might also not have a show on July 11th. The jury is out on that, since that's the second Sunday. I might, because Tanya may not be here, so.
Yeah.
So if we do have something, it would be impromptu, but right now I'm kind of planning July 4th and July 11th to not have a show.
And can I just say quick, when I said I do squids, I wasn't speaking of bizarre sexual squid acts like in that one video on YouTube. I mean, I have a Squidworks meeting.
If that's what you want to tell yourself, but yeah. So so there's that. If you want to know our future schedules, you know, you go to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar. And I keep it updated regularly now, and I'll probably be scheduling a few others for August. In the end of July, I think I may have a couple on there already. But for those who missed it, there was one last week that was an impromptu sort of discussion with Eric of Exern at exiern.com, I believe. let's see, he also goes by the name Dromos, if you know him by that. We talked about Comic Press or Comic Press Premium or something like that, where... I'm not going to go into it now since there's a whole episode of it, but I will go on the record saying I did talk to Frumpf after the fact, after he listened to it and all this sort of thing. So there are changes in play. It may or may not still be Comic Press Premium. It might be something else completely. I don't know entirely what they're going to be doing with it. But when they come out with it, he and his coder friend come out with whatever's next as far as their new... entirely revamped code for publishing webcomics on WordPress. I have invited them to be on the show if they like to basically, you know, talk about it and pimp it if they like, because, you know, fair's fair, because we've had Mike on the show of Webcomic and Inkblot talk at extensive length about his thing, so it's only fair. So that invitation is out there, and I know a lot of people really like Comic Press, and they really like Frumpf and Get Along. And I do want to say that my experience with Comic Press apparently was at least one or two versions before Frumpf even got on the code. So, so I'm just trying to be fair here. I'm not backpedaling in anything. I'm just trying to be fair.
Right, and fairness is good. We're anti Fox. Fair and balanced.
Yeah, we are anti Fox.
I
had from
coming up to the work site.
We're fair, we're balanced, and full of blasphemy.
Yes, and yeah. Yeah, when Frump comes on the show, I'm not going to be all like, What do you say? You hate America. You hate America. And whatever. And
just keep screaming it no matter what he says.
and then just mute him when he continues to try to make his point. Because that's so professional. Sorry, pundits are not reporters, okay?
Well, they're not even pundits.
They're assholes.
They're angry soapbox screamers, like you see on the corner. You know, they smell a bit of cheese, and they're just like waving books and yelling at people and throwing things.
What do you think O'Reilly smells like? Blue cheese, or?
I think O'Reilly smells like sexual harassment and possibly the will to snap. Like, that's what I think O'Reilly smells like. I think he smells like his own junk.
Oh, God.
And
I don't want to know.
Crazy. I think he smells like ball sweat. That's what I'm going with.
Alrighty. In any case, moving on. Speaking of that, this is a great way to segue into the Webcomic Beacon t-shirts. Webcomicbeacon.com/t-shirts. I haven't sold any, I'll be honest. At the $18 including shipping, you think would be a great price. So what I'm going to do now, and hopefully by the end of summer, I'm hoping by August, I can get enough people, instead of $18 with included shipping, $15 included shipping, pick the color you want, pick the size you want. I will do another run, so I don't have to worry about what stock I got left. I will sell the current stock if I have the right size and right color for you at $15 instead of the $18. I'm dropping the price. No, I won't make a much of a profit on it at all. Anyway, the point was to try to get enough money from this one to do a second run and pay for the first run. So I'll still make a little bit, like a couple bucks, I think, if that. At least $1 I'll make with that, because shipping will fluctuate. I'm saying flat $15, basic shipping anywhere. I think first class anywhere to any country is even less than, it's no more than a little bit over $3, if that. So
I don't know about any country.
Well, most of when I was like just punching in things.
Anybody out there in Serbia, you're screwed.
If it turns out to be a lot, yeah, maybe you could throw me an extra dollar or two later, or I don't know, whatever. But anything, 4XL, 5XL, you'll have to add a couple bucks because
the shirts cost more.
Yeah, 3XL. Yeah, if I'm going to be dropping the price to 15, a 3XL, that's going to be one extra dollar. 4XL, 5XL, men's, that's going to be an extra $2.
Wow, you made 5XLs?
This company has 5XLs. See, if I'm going to be doing a second run, this means everything's going to be a custom order. Whatever color T-shirt you want, that's available. Any size shirt that's available. There's extra small for women's that I know, but not for men. And if I have an existing shirt in a color, I'll sell that for $15 as well, and I'll mail that out. I will say the... Hang on. Okay, we are still recording. I will say that the dark greens and the red look really good. The brown ones, they're called chocolate, and the red, and because the symbol's red, the chocolate ones look really nice if you like brown. It's a really nice color. And I do think that the guy from Antisocial, who was at PenguinCon, I think you bought a girl's shirt. I mean, I saw you wearing it. It looks all right on you, but
if it fits, who cares?
Well, it's a woman's cut. If we can get this second run going, I will replace your shirt because it's. I blame Mark since he is the one who sold it.
Oh, hey!
And also, we have
freaking those shirts with what they were. I didn't know. I gave him the size he wanted. It worked.
So Mark. Also, we also have several T-shirts of Mark's. The one with Mark should be posting on his website at some point. Pictures of these, and I didn't see those, but we still have some of the robot shirts left. The ones with the three laws shirt and the guitar. Plain purple. It's purple mostly, and the other one's orange and white. So if you'd like to like one of those shirts as well, let me know. I'm not sure what Mark's charging for shirts plus shipping if he wants to go my route, But if it's shirts plus shipping or whatever, I'll get that in the show notes after I talk to him after the show about it. And so this is something I really, really, really want to do to try to get some shirts out there for people that want them. $15, that's it, with including shipping. That's a pretty good price if you would like one of these shirts. We can take PayPal or whatever. So in any case, that is it for the show. That is it for time travel. I do want to thank... I do want to thank everybody that showed up in our live chat room. That's right, every Sunday, almost every Sunday, we broadcast and record live. We've been doing this for over 2.5 years, almost 125 episodes so far. Going to be pretty close to having 150 by the time we hit 3 years. Great show. I love this show. And, you know, I love our listeners and I love our guests that come on the show. And this, that's
a pee.
No, fine. And that's webcomicbeacon.com.
Wrap it up.
This has been Fest of PSI, webcomic.com.
This is Tanya of daisiesandshit.com.
And this is Mark of autumnlake.com.
Thanks to everyone who showed up. See you next time.
Bye. Okay.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.